Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communications Internet Radio. This is Emily Osmond.
And Jane Aniceto.
From the Legion of Mary in St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America. We have guests today from the Legion of Mary in St. John the Beloved, Wilmington, Delaware. Welcome, Martha Ann Zerba and Winnie Thompson. Today, January 25, 2019, is the feast day of the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle. Tomorrow, January 26, is the feast day of Saints Timothy and Titus. So after we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we will talk about these three great saints, and then we will pray a novena to three American saints for life.
Welcome to the Hour of Great Mercy, brought to you by the Legion of Mary Immaculate Conception Presidium here at St. Mary the Assumption in Hockessin, Delaware. As to the history of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, in 1935, St. Faustina received a vision of an angel sent by God to chastise a certain city. She began to pray for mercy, but her prayers were powerless. Suddenly, she saw the Holy Trinity and felt the power of Jesus' grace within her. Then she found herself pleading with God for mercy, with the words she heard interiorly.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us.
As she continued saying this inspired prayer, the angel became helpless and could not carry out the deserved punishment. The next day, as she was entering the chapel, she again heard this interior voice, instructing her now to recite the prayer that the Lord later called the chaplet. This time, after "Have mercy on us," were added the words "and the whole world." From then on, she recited this form of prayer almost constantly, offering it especially for the dying. In subsequent revelations, the Lord made it clear that the chaplet was not just for her, but for the whole world. He also attached extraordinary promises to its recitation. Encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. When they say this chaplet, in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as the just judge, but as the merciful Savior. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation, even if there were a sinner most hardened. If he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. Through the chaplet, you will obtain everything if what you ask for is compatible with my will. Prayed on ordinary rosary beads, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy is an intercessory prayer that extends the offering of the Eucharist, so it is especially appropriate to use it after having received Holy Communion at Holy Mass. It may be said at any time, but our Lord specifically told St. Faustina to recite it during the 9 days before the Feast of Mercy, the first Sunday after Easter. He then added, "By this novena of chaplets, I will grant every possible grace to souls." It is likewise appropriate to pray the chaplet during the Hour of Great Mercy, 3 o'clock each afternoon, recalling the Christ's death on the cross. In his revelations to Saint Faustina, our Lord asked for a special remembrance of his passion at that hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in an atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Today, Friday, January 25, is the feast day of the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle. St. Paul the Apostle was the greatest of the early Christian missionaries. He first appears in the Acts of the Apostles under the name of Saul. Saul was raised in the Jewish faith as a Pharisee, trained in the strict observance of God's law. He believed the law should be obeyed by himself and all Jews. Saul was upset by the early Christian church, believing that the early Christians had broken away from their Jewish traditions. He actively persecuted the church in Jerusalem. As the first Christian martyr, Stephen was being stoned to death. Saul watched the cloaks of the persecutors. Paul then traveled to Damascus to further persecute early Christians. On the road to Damascus, Saul had an encounter with a risen Jesus Christ. Jesus asked, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Paul replied, "Who are you, sir?" Jesus responded, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Jesus then sent Saul into Damascus to wait for further instructions. Saul was shaken and blinded by the experience. When a Christian named Ananias came and baptized Saul, his blindness went away. As a result of this encounter, Saul became a follower of Christ. He was now convinced that fellowship with the risen Jesus Christ, not the observance of the law, was all that was needed to receive God's promise of salvation. Saul, whose name now became Paul, went to Jerusalem to consult with Peter. After his first missionary journeys, Paul was called by Jesus to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. He spent the rest of his life journeying on his missions, establishing local churches, and writing to them when he heard of their accomplishments and failures. Paul's letters are the earliest records of the life and history of the early church. As inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul's letters are part of the canon of the New Testament. As a record of the happenings in the early church, they are an invaluable record of the expansion of the Christianity. St. Paul's writings. Altogether, there are 13 epistles that bear Paul's name as the author. However, scholars do not believe that he wrote them all. Paul himself was the author of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Galatians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Romans, and Philemon. The epistles to the Ephesians, Colossians, Titus, and 1 and 2 Timothy bear Paul's name, but it is believed that they were written after his death. The writers of these letters were disciples of Paul who wanted to continue his teaching. Whoever the authors of these epistles were, these writings have been accepted into the New Testament as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Centrality of Jesus Christ. The most profound and moving day in Paul's life was when he met the risen Jesus Christ. Paul was well respected by the Jewish community and his peers, but he gave it all up for Christ. More than that, I even consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, Paul said. Jesus Christ, Paul realized, was sent by the Father to bring salvation for all. Paul taught that we are united with Christ in faith and baptism. We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. On the personal level, individual Christians recognize that they are united with and justified by Christ. They receive the grace indeed to overcome sin and to live forever moral lives. Justification. Paul teaches that the justice of God was saving justice at its best. God is faithful, fulfilling the promises made in the Old Testament covenant. Through the sin of Adam and Eve, the human family was alienated from God. Through Christ, the human family is called back into relationship with God. This process of reuniting the human family with God is called justification. It is impossible for us to justify ourselves. We are only justified by being united in faith with Jesus Christ and by accepting the gift of grace won by Christ. We can only be made right with God and set free from a life of immoral living by accepting the gift of God's reconciling grace. Life in the Spirit. Paul teaches that the love of God is being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source of all love. The Holy Spirit creates a bond between us and God, like children bound to a father. The Holy Spirit not only establishes our relationship with the Father, even though we are weak, the Holy Spirit helps us to live faithfully within that relationship. It is through the Holy Spirit that we can live in love with all people. The moral life. What does it mean to live a Christian moral life? Paul thought deeply about this question. He was raised a faithful Jew. As we have seen, Paul was raised to believe that following the strict moral code of the Jewish faith was the way to salvation. Paul believed, "The law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good." What Paul realized, however, that because we are weakened by the sin of Adam and Eve, it was impossible to us to reconnect our relationship with God through our efforts alone. After his experience with Jesus Christ, Paul realized that he was not alone on the road to salvation. Jesus Christ has already accomplished salvation for us. In faith and baptism, Christians receive the grace of the Holy Spirit, who is our constant guide. The Holy Spirit helps us to live in relationship with God and others.
Saints Timothy and Titus' story. Their feast day is Saturday, January 26th. What we know from the New Testament of Timothy's life makes it sound like that of a modern, harried bishop. He had the honor of being a fellow apostle with Paul, both sharing the privilege of preaching the gospel and suffering for it. Timothy had a Greek father and a Jewish mother named Eunice. Being the product of a mixed marriage, he was considered illegitimate by the Jews. It was his grandmother, Lois, who first became Christian. Timothy was a convert of Paul around the year 47 and later joined him in his apostolic work. He was with Paul at the founding of the church in Corinth. During the 15 years he worked with Paul, he became one of his most faithful and trusted friends. He was sent on difficult missions by Paul, often in the face of great disturbance in local churches which Paul had founded. Timothy was with Paul in Rome during the latter's house arrest. At some period, Timothy was in prison. Paul installed him as his representative at the Church of Ephesus. Timothy was comparatively young for the work he was doing. Several references seem to indicate that he was timid. As one of Paul's most frequently quoted lines was addressed to him, quote, "Stop drinking only water, but have a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent illnesses." end quote. Titus has the distinction of being a close friend and disciple of Paul, as well as a fellow missionary. He was Greek, apparently from Antioch. Even though Titus was a Gentile, Paul would not let him be forced to undergo circumcision at Jerusalem. Titus is seen as a peacemaker, an administrator, and a great friend. Paul's second letter to the Corinth affords an insight into the depth of his friendship with Titus and the great fellowship they had in preaching the gospel. When Paul was having trouble with the community at Corinth, Titus was the bearer of Paul's severe letter and was successful in smoothing things out. Paul writes he was strengthened not only by the arrival of Titus, but also by the encouragement with which he was encouraged in regard to you, as he told us of your yearning, your lament, your zeal for us, so that I rejoice even more. And his heart goes out to you all the more, as he remembers the obedience of all of you when you received him with fear and trembling. The letter to Titus addresses him as the administrator of the Christian community on the island of Crete, charged with organizing it, correcting abuses, and appointing presbyter bishops. Reflection. In Titus, we get another glimpse of life in the early church. Great zeal in the apostolate, great communion in Christ, great friendship. Yet always there is the problem of human nature and the unglamorous details of daily life. The need for charity and patience in quarrels with others, fears with myself, as Paul says. Through it all, the love of Christ sustained him. At the end of the letter to Titus, Paul says that when the temporary substitute comes, hurry to me. Saints Timothy and Titus are patron saints of stomach disorders.
A novena to three American saints for life. Saint Elizabeth Seton, Francis Cabrini, and John Neumann are powerful witnesses to the gospel of life, each in their own time. This novena suggests 3 days of prayer to each of the saints for the promotion of life in our country and our church today. Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. Saint Elizabeth Ann Bailey Seton, a prominent New York aristocrat, had 5 children with her husband William, a shipping merchant. Before she turned 30, the Setons went bankrupt and William died. Within 5 years of his death, Elizabeth had converted to Catholicism, formed New York City's first charity, the Society for Relief of Poor Widows and with Small Children, established the first Catholic school, and founded the first religious community of women in the United States of America. Day 1. St. Elizabeth Seton, you knew the beauty of all human life when you carried a child in your womb, and when, as a young widow, a teacher and founder of the Sisters of Charity, you sought to give the gospel of life. Inspire us, intercede for us, and be with us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know the sacrament of holy matrimony. Teach us to support all families with faith and truth. You know the love of a good spouse. Intercede for all newly married couples. You know the stirring of the child in the womb. intercede for every unborn child. You know the miracle of giving birth. Pray for mothers tempted by abortion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We will continue to pray this novena for the next few weeks.
Thank you for listening. We welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible: Father Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America; Tony McGinley of Oremus Communications; A.J. Loporto, who provided the music; our guests today from St. John the Beloved, Martha Ann and Winnie; all the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington Curia. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m.